Good morning. Good morning, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to Essex Church and to this community of Kensington Unitarians. It's early in January in the year 2024. The sun's shining here in London, but it's a chilly, chilly day. And I'm offering you a warm welcome to those of you here in person, and those of you joining us online. If we've not met before, I'm Sarah Tinker, and it's a pleasure to be with you. Now, this may not have dawned on you, but at this very moment, we could be in Oxford Street getting ready to do some New Year sales shopping. We could have headed out to those January sales, and yet we've chosen to be here. And I wonder if that's because we know that there is much in life that money can't buy, and that there's much in life that is actually priceless. Here, I think we're valuing community. We're valuing the deliberate choosing of joining together with others, knowing that together, well, we can achieve something different than when we're on our own. So we're going to spend this hour together creating this time in which to open ourselves, what might we say, opening ourselves to the power of transformation, to fresh insights and new ideas. Because religious community offers both comfort and challenge, that opportunity to see our lives from new perspectives and fresh points of view. And a Unitarian community like ours, well, it's not going to tell us what to believe or what to think, but it will remind us that life is precious. Life is precious, and all are equal. And that what we say and what we do and how we choose to live our lives, that can really make a difference. So let's be open to that possibility of transformation this morning. And let's take a moment now to allow ourselves to settle whatever journey we've had to be in this moment. Let's do what we do to arrive fully in the here and the now. And having made that choice to be together today, let's make a connection with ourselves, with one another, and with that which we hold to be divine, that which is of greatest worth, the God of our hearts and our understanding. May this simple chalice flame, flickering a little at this moment, may it burn brightly for us this day and remind us of worldwide connections with progressive, Unitarian and Unitarian Universalist communities the world over, in India, Romania, North America, Burundi, to mention just a few of the places where that Unitarian Universalist flame of justice, liberty and love is lit. May this light touch our hearts and guide our steps. So, in today's service, we're remembering the traditional story of the visit of the wise ones to the infant Jesus, known as the Feast of Epiphany, also known as Twelfth Night, and it's often regarded as the completion of the Christmas festivities. So I think that's a good enough reason to sing a traditional carol, We Three Kings, and the words are going to be on your screens or they're on this handout that we've got in church. And do feel free, as always, to sit, stand, sing, or simply enjoy listening. So we have a slightly different order today to the order of service now. So Brian has kindly offered to bring us our first reading today. Thank you, Brian.
This reading is from chapter 2 of Matthew's Gospel and tells of the journey of the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, "Where is the Messiah to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied. "For this is what the prophet has written: But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
That biblical narrative, it really resonates with me. I don't know if it does with you. It's a story of old, I suppose. That story of the visit of the Magi, the wise ones who come to visit the infant Jesus. Well, it's a story many of us will have heard many times before. Hasn't it got some gripping themes of mysterious travelers with enough faith to follow a wandering star across desert lands, met by the tyrant Herod with his oily words, warned in a dream that they should return home by another route, traveling with gifts they then offered to the Christ child, the powerful bowing before the vulnerable. So my invitation now is to take some of these images into a time of prayer. And let's align ourselves with that which we hold to be of greatest worth. Let's allow ourselves to deepen and soften our sense of self, knowing that we are part of something so much greater than our small selves. We are part of all that exists. So let us pray for all that exists here on earth, that we might be guided in our life paths by intuition and inner guidance, by our own wisdom, as well as the wisdom of others. May we sense our part in the greater scheme of all that is and know that we are not alone. Though it is part of being human to feel separate at times, yet truly we are one. And as one, we probably know the inner tyrants in our own lives. Our need to have our own way, perhaps, or our conviction that the way we see life is the only right way. Or may we be open to far more expansive realities. And may we in the year ahead increase our deeper understanding of the tyrannical parts of human nature. And find ourselves aligned with love and trust and openness. May these qualities flourish for all people. And even as we wish one another Happy New Year, we know the reality that no year can be all happiness, no life, all sweetness and light. So let us instead wish one another the strength and companionship to deal with whatever life brings our ways. Let us encourage one another's joy and comfort one another in our sorrowful times. And let us pray for our human family that we might work together to find healing for the issues of our world. And in that spirit now, in a short time of silence, let us each send our loving thoughts and prayers to people and places we know are in need of love. And may the spirit of life and love be with us all and guide our steps this day and all days, that we might individually and collectively find those paths of peace and fulfillment. Amen. We get to sing again now. It's a song of aspiration. It's in this green hymn book, or words will appear on the screen. It's number 226, the Song of Peace, which is sung to the Sibelius tune that is so very beautiful, and of course written at a time when his own country, Finland, was facing tyrannical changes. And I think the tune itself seems to speak of our yearning for peace, and the words by Lloyd Stone really express that aching realization that most of us come to, that this world can look so very different from different opposing sides. So let's sing together for the peace of our world.
Thank you.
So we're moving into the meditative time of our service now, and today's meditation invites us simply to rest in the moment. We'll have a few words to guide us into a time of shared stillness, and that'll end with a chime from our brass bell. And yeah, just settle yourselves as you best can, anything that works for you. Maybe putting down anything that you don't need in your hands, or maybe holding on to something that you do feel the need for. Maybe focusing for a little time on your body and that felt sense of being in a chair or wherever we are, with our feet and our whole body connecting us to the floor and to the earth beneath us, that bedrock of our being. Breathing in the air which sustains us. Enjoying a softening of our gaze or a closing of our eyes, whatever feels comfortable for us. And in that stillness, resting in the moment, we might think of the Sufi mystic poet's Jalaluddin Rumi's words, that as we start to walk upon the way or path, the way, the path appears. As we start to walk upon the way appears. Resting in the eternal possibility of each moment, let us imagine a path unfolding before us, one step at a time. Resting in each moment of now, in the fellowship of shared stillness, which will be followed by music and song.
Contemporary Scottish poet Liz Lockhead prefaces this poem, which she calls Spoken Song, with a line from one of Carol Ann Duffy's poems. It's a line that succinctly describes this time of year. These are the shortened days and the endless nights. Carol Ann Duffy, from Meantime, 1993. Liz Lockhead takes that short line and weaves it into her own poem about this time of year. We've copied the start and the finish of the poem onto today's hymn sheet, and the whole poem will be on screens for those at home. Or you could find the poem later online to read again if it interests you. Lockhead in this poem describes the longing many of us experience at this time of year, a longing for light, and the way our faith can be restored by one clear, sharp, sunny winter's day. She writes of the brave, cold journey of the Magi, and in her closing line, she reminds us of the presence that there is in absence. Believe in the light's soul and spirit that's in its absence and our longing for it. Liz Lockhead's spoken song. Gloomy December, the doldrum days of the dead of winter. These are the shortest days and the endless nights. So wish for the moon and long for the light. Chill winds, relentless rain, dark to go to work in, darkness home again. But given just one fine day of sun and sharp, clean frost, our lost, maybe long lost faith, if for nothing more than the year's turning, comes back like the light comes back. A promise in our bleak midwinter yearning, once in a rare and clear blue noon, if we wish for the moon. Till then, the light's soul and spirit is locked in his absence and our longing for it. Whether you believe with the Magi in their miracle, three kings bow down low before the child of light, or whether we think them wise men on a fool's errand, their gifts useless, magnificent, precious, who came following one star and its faltering, gleaming till they came to the place. It was a brave as well as a cold coming. Yes. And whether it was a refugee waif or the savior that was born, whether some shepherds on the night shift saw angels or a meteor storm, believe in the light's soul and spirit that's in its absence and our longing for it.
Thank you for that reading. Yeah, we're in the time of shortest days and endless nights. And it's just the time, I think, when a light-bringing moment of epiphany would be most welcome, wouldn't it? And that word, epiphany, even the word itself, has got something about it, hasn't it? I mean, it can be defined as a revelation of the divine on earth. And we also hear it, don't we, used in a more down-to-earth way as one of those aha moments when we see something perhaps in a new way, a deeper way maybe, waking up to new possibilities and ways of being. And it points, I think, to our very human capacity to make meaning, making meaning out of our experiences every step of the way. And we humans, we are prone to reflecting at times, and the start of the year as we consider the year that's passed and the year that is to come, is as good a time as any. And though these chunks of time are marked by the movement of our planet around its sun, yet we bring our own human meaning to that particular period of time. I really think these moments of quiet reflection and perhaps realignment are useful in our lives. This is a time when we might think about the metaphorical stars that have been guiding our steps. We can perhaps choose another path if that now seems more fitting. We might be considering what we actually find most valuable and what would have us bend our knee or disrupt our routines or give more deeply from within ourselves. We might become aware of a whole new path in life that's waiting to unfold before us if we could but make that first tentative step into territory as yet unknown. The heart, the essence of Epiphany is an openness to being disrupted and changed by experience, that potential for transformation in life. And you know, I reckon that's some area where we can perhaps be of use to one another. When life feels stuck or not clear which path to take or how to even respond to an event, well, let's remind one another that there are new ways to view this world, new ways to consider our existence. There's always more to learn and to be revealed if we can but pay attention. And as those ancient wise ones brought their gifts to a child laid in a manger, guided by a prophetic imperative that took them from the comfort of home far to faraway lands, well, we too, in this year ahead, might we find ever more ways to bring our simple gifts to this world? So I'm going to close by reading an Epiphany blessing. And it's called For Those Who Have Far to Travel. It's written by Janelle Richardson. I don't know if you're aware of her work. She's a United Methodist minister. She's a marvelous writer, I think, and an artist. She works with spiritual themes and she generously makes her work available to us online. So you might enjoy finding this blessing and other pieces of hers to read. So in this piece, she's writing about the kinds of life journeys that many of us will know. You know, there's ones with the uncertain destination that life can sometimes shove us into. Those challenging, maybe exciting, maybe fearful journeys that just require us to put one foot in front of another and keep our sense of faith, of hope, of possibility alive, despite everything. I've been keeping this blessing with me all week, and it's come to represent for me a worthwhile reminder, I think, that as I'm doing my own dealing with the troubles of our world, which I know you were all engaged with too. And it's been reminding me that as I face the troubles of our world, perhaps my task is really simply, but not at all simply, to keep a sense of hope and possibility alive and refreshed in me. So I hope that this reading holds some message for you too this day. It's a blessing for those of us, all of us, who have far to travel. If you could see the journey whole, you might never undertake it, might never dare the first step that propels you from the place you've known towards the place you know not. Call it one of the mercies of the road that we see it only by stages, as it opens before us, as it comes into our keeping, step by single step. There's nothing for it but to go. And by our going, take the vows the pilgrim takes. to be faithful to the next step, to rely on more than the map, to heed the signposts of intuition and dream, to follow the star that only you will recognize, to keep an open eye for the wonders that attend the path, to press on beyond distractions, beyond fatigue, beyond what would tempt you from the way. There are vows that only you will know, the secret promises for your particular path and the new ones you will need to make when the road is revealed by turns you could not have foreseen. Keep them, break them, make them again. Each promise becomes part of the path. Each choice creates the road that will take you to the place where at last you will kneel to offer the gift most needed, the gift that only you can give, before turning to go home by another way. Words from Jan Richardson. And it brings us to our closing hymn today, which is called Wonder, and the words are on your hymn sheets, or they'll be on your screen. And there was something I was going to tell you about this. I discovered that these words were written by a British poet called Alfred Noyes. And when I read it, I just thought, oh, yeah, he really touched something. I think reminding us, perhaps, of how little we actually know in life and how much there is to wonder at, which is not a bad way to approach this world, is it? In a state of wonder. Thank you, Vivi. So it's time now for our announcements. Ramona, thank you for tech hosting. Nothing would happen without you sitting there pressing all the right buttons. Thank you, Janine, there online. Thank you for welcoming everybody and being there for them. Thank you, Hannah and Brian, for reading and being prepared to take on a reading at the last moment. Thank you, Evie and Benji. Lovely, lovely music today. Really great. Thank you to coffee makers and greeters who help to make this community a warm and welcoming place. And for those of you here in person, do stay and have a warm drink. And we have got mince pies, Christmas cake, ginger cookies, everything for you. Please eat. And those of you on Zoom, do please hang around and have a chat with Janine. There are, as always, various small group activities during the week, and I think I'd suggest, because here in London there's possibly a tube strike, just check, send an email to check before you set out on any kind of a journey. But some things to highlight. You don't need to get on a tube to enjoy the online Heart and Soul, which happens every Sunday and Friday. And this week's theme is Habit and Routine, which I think is probably a very useful theme for early January. So if you've not tried that before, or if you have, you'll be very welcome to just contact Jane and book in for that. What else have we got? Sonia, you're doing your NIA dance class, and the strike will be over on Friday, so there's no excuse not to be here in church in person, 12:30. Or you've also got your online classes, haven't you, every Wednesday. So talk to Sonia about that. Community singing on Wednesday. I think that will probably still happen. So anybody who can hop on a bus, come along to that. Brilliant. Really good fun. Absolutely no skill required for that. The induction service for Jane as our new minister, that's coming up on the 27th of January. It's going to be a lovely celebration, and of course there's always need for help with hosting, so if you can greet people or make a cup of tea and do some clearing up, could you let Liz or Patricia know, because every little bit of assistance gratefully received. And what else? We'll be here again next Sunday when Janine and the congregation are leading a service on new beginnings. And there's going to be a Sunday conversation after the service next week. So why not bring a sandwich and stay? I can't remember the timings of that, but they're on this order of service, I think. But yeah, chance for to get to know people a bit better. All the details of what's going on are on the back of the order of service, or they're in the email. If you don't get the weekly email, it's worth signing up for that. And yeah, let's do what we always do. Let's try and keep in touch with each other and nurture all those supportive connections. And I know I wanted to mention the February event, which is the looking into the future and particularly looking at climate change issues. That's a national Unitarian event and we get the pleasure of hosting it. There'll be more details around the place, and I know Liz is involved with that. It would be great to have members of the congregation come along, and we're having one of the founders of Extinction Rebellion speaking about their work, and there's various events going on during the day. So I think that's Saturday the 3rd of February. Definitely worth coming. And you actually get to book a place on that on Eventbrite. So we've reached the 21st century. I think that's everything. Hope I haven't forgotten anything. So now it's time for closing words and closing music now. Evie's going to play a great piece of Edvard Grieg's piano music for us. So that's something to enjoy. So everyone, let us step forward. Let us step forward, be it with courage or trepidation, into the territory of our living, this unknown land of potential and possibility, ever aware of ourselves as makers of meaning, as fellow companions on the road, and as bringers of gifts to this, our most precious world. Go well, all of you. Amen. And blessed be.